Learning to trust God. Here's the promise. This is in Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all that you need for His glorious resource, from His glorious resources in Christ. God said, I will supply all that you need. Now, Larry, I'll give you the answer to that question. Okay, Lord. Well, then wonder why I don't have the answers to the questions. Perhaps it would be because I haven't listened to God when He's ready to give me the answer to it. Because I try to decide I can handle this myself. Or I have it up here, Lord. I got this. Then the question comes, and the Lord is looking at you, and He's saying, I'm ready to give you the answer. Just ask me. I'll give you the answer. No, I got this. No, Lord, now you told me to study. You told me to learn. I got this. I got this. And then our life gets messed up because we think we got it. Well, here's the fact. You don't have it. Because life will throw you so many curveballs. You will be hit with so much that you didn't expect. Only God knows what's coming your way. And Jesus says, let me give you this warning. All, now listen to the scripture. He will supply all that you need. All, meaning everything. But look around. Why then isn't everybody's needs met? If God says that He's supplying it all, why isn't everybody's needs met? Here was the condition.
You don't need it.
Yeah, or the condition is this. Matthew 9:29. According to your faith will it be done to you. Now we get messed up when it comes to the term faith. Or it comes to the lifestyle of living by faith. Faith is not an emotion. And so often we think it is. You know, we get excited, we hear the word of God, and something inside of us gets us excited, and we're feeling great for that second, and that emotion is overwhelming within us, and we're excited about it, but that's not what faith is. Faith is not that emotion you're feeling. It is not thinking. You cannot think your way to faith. You can't think your way out of a bad situation. You try to. Yeah, and you keep thinking. And the older we get, Phyllis, the older we get, right in the middle of thinking, we fall asleep, you know, whatever it is. But the thinking won't do it. Or hoping. Faith is hoping. No. No, faith isn't hoping. No, faith is a power of its own. That's what we're going to take a test on in a moment. And faith is a power of its own. And it's not wishing. Well, I wish you well. Well, thanks, Larry. You know, I don't feel a bit better since you said that, Larry. You know, you still made me sick at my stomach this morning, so I'm not well from that one yet. Wishing. Faith is not wishing. I wish I had more faith. Well, you don't get more faith by wishing it. We're going to see how this works here in a little bit. Faith is a God-given trust. I trust God with my belief and faith. Faith develops through use. It's like building muscles. I can say, you know, I'm going back to weightlifting. I've been saying that for years. I'm going back. I'm going back to weightlifting. Because I enjoyed weightlifting. I enjoyed all of that. Now, I have been saying it. But I have not lifted 1 pound on that machine of mine. Any of it. Have not done it. I will develop it through the use of the machine. Now, I will say this, Steve. I went down and I've looked at that machine. I moved it around a couple of times. And I thought, you know, that still looks good. I dusted off, shined it up once, turned the light out and left. And didn't help one muscle I had, except it, my muscle was hurting because I moved it by myself, the whole thing. So think of it this way. As we're looking at our life and we're developing our trust in God, and in that process we're developing our faith, but it keys on trust God more. How can I learn to trust God more? 1 Peter 1, verse 7. These trials, and this is important to every one of us, these trials, all of us are going through trials and tribulations, are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It's called the fiery trials of life. So they're there for a purpose. You know, I see no purpose in me hurting like I hurt. You don't see any purpose in you hurting like you hurt, do you? I mean, me and you both could get together. There'd be no trouble with us all. We could pray. And we could say, Lord, Larry and I have decided that we see no reason for us to hurt like this. We wished and prayed that you will put all of our pain on Randy Kidder. And then we will pray for him that he might get better over it. Now, in saying that, Mark, me and you will laugh about it at the time, but none of us are going to feel good when it's over, and the only thing that's going to happen, we're going to feel bad if Randy gets sick. Okay, go to page 2. Here's four of the most common trials. I call it the life test. Life test. You ready? The first test in life is the pressure test. How will I handle stress? Now, either you handle stress or stress will handle you. Either you handle stress or stress will handle you. Well, I've tried to deal directly with stress. I couldn't handle it. The way that I handle stress is I'll tell God on it. I'll tell God on the situation. And I'll say, Lord, I admit I can't do this. I admit I'm going to mess it up if I try. How will I handle the stress? Will I depend on God or will I depend on myself? Lord, I just hate to bother you for another problem in my life. Well, why do you hate to bother him? He said that you're no bother at all. God, again, you know, I feel good about that. God lets me know that I'm not a bother to him. And you cannot imagine how many people have told me that I bother them. And sometimes that you said things that bother me. God has never, ever let me know that I bother him. There's nothing going on in my life that can bother God. God wants to hear from me. Here's one of the things that seems, or one part of some of the things that we try to delve into to deal with stress itself. Pills. Now we got pills out there, folks, that take care of just about anything. And we got pills that put you asleep and pills that bring you back to wake. We got pills that'll knock you out and keep you out. You know, we got pills for about everything. So I take the pills. You'll take a pill for a while and then you realize, man, I feel worse taking this than I did with the problems that I had. So you get away from the pills. But then, here's a great way of handling stress, the pressure of life itself. Complain about it. God, look at Adam. Lord, I wouldn't have sinned, but that woman you gave me, she gave of me and I did eat. A woman did it, Lord. So that's complaining. Complaining about the situation. Does that help the pressure? That didn't help him at all. that brings on a lot more pressure. Now, gentlemen, try it. If you don't think that'll bring pressure in your house, go ahead and openly pray in front of your wife. Lord, it's that woman you gave me that did it, and tell me if that relieved any pressure on you. The next, I love this one because this came from one of the stats that I'd read. And this dealt with women. How did they handle stress? Shopping. You go shopping to handle stress.
Retail therapy.
Yes. Yeah. Payday someday. I think comes at the end of that. But go shopping to handle the pressure of life. It only worked for a short period of time. Then the pressure of paying for what you bought starts coming into play. And then some people, eating. How do I handle pressure? I eat. Peanut butter fudge. Thank you. Anything that'll go in that mouth goes in that mouth. And you eat and you feel good while you're eating and tasting and swallowing. And then later, you're not feeling so good because you ate too much. And someone is around to tell you, getting a little plump there, aren't you? Well, I was dealing with pressure. They didn't ask me why I was getting plump. I was on a medical experiment. I was dealing with the pressure of my life. And then you have those who will rely on alcohol. Alcohol will pop right back to the pills. But alcohol, anything to get her mind off of it for a short period of time. The only trouble with all of this, it only works for that short period of time. God wants us to go through a pressure test and to understand a way to where we can pass that test and conquer the pressures that are on our life and within our life. Psalm 50, verse 15. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God says, oh, here it is. You got trouble? I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you. He's saying, I will rescue you. Trust me and I will rescue you. And you can give me glory. What if you do it on your own? Who do you give glory to? Man, I was so smart to figure that out. I got myself out of that mess. Well, I got news for you folks. I've been around a long time and I've realized I've got myself in a lot more messes than I ever got out of. That's for sure. That's called life. And that is pressure. Maybe a quick fix approach. I'll just do it my way. You ever try that one? You know, okay, all of the pills, all of the other, no, I don't want to do that. I'll do this my way. My people have done two evils in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. They have turned away from me. That means that's evil. Listen to what God says. They've turned away from me the spring of living water. And then what'd they do? And they dug their own wells, which are broken wells and cannot hold water. That's doing it your way. That's doing it in your time. And that's doing it in your pleasure. Well, here's one thing about the test of life. Life takes no prisoners. See, the life test that you and I go through, it is a continuing process. You're going to get hit with the truth of life every day that you're breathing. And the most of it is going to be ugly. You're going to be hit with so much ugly stuff in your life the pressure is going to just build and build and build. And the fact is, you cannot deal with this. And when I'm saying you cannot deal with it, and I'm not even going to throw in, you cannot deal with it on your own. You can't deal with it outside the holy hand of Almighty God intervening on your behalf. God must intervene on your behalf. But when he does, then I guarantee you that stress factor is going to be taken care of the right way. Now, you might think that the stress in your life is somebody in your life. You know, call me the greatest stress in my life. No, it's not. You're going to see the greatest stress factor in your life, look in the mirror. You are the greatest stress factor you will ever have in your life. Well, you think, did you ever, I always go back to kids driving, learning to drive. When they start getting their driver's license and get out on the road and all of this, and the parents are worried to death, we're laying there, the kid could be out in the driveway, parked, sitting there listening to something on the radio. Mom and dad's in the house and has this vision of them in a tree in the car right up there with them where they've had a wreck and all the horrible things have gone on within their life. We build that in your mind, thinking all of the horrible things, and the poor kids out in the driveway listening to gospel music. Maybe not gospel music, but listening to the music. Think of it. Okay. God will not bless your way because your way will hurt you. That's why it's not blessed. I don't understand why God didn't, you know, I thought I had a pretty good plan there. And God just blew that plan right out of the water. He didn't do it because he didn't love me. He did it because he does love me. Because your way will hurt you. What's the antidote? You ready? Isaiah 50, second part of verse 15. If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Now, Lord, I got a flashlight here. I got this. Larry, you little dummy, that flashlight is fake light. When I speak of light to you, says God, I'm speaking of me in you. My light shining through you. Your flashlight ain't going to make it. It's not going to get, and about that time, God will just zap the battery just to show you. It ain't going to work. Because God does that to help us. He says, I know you have pressure in your life. I've come not to relieve the pressure, but to take it away. After all, I did go to the cross for you, didn't I? Life is a test, and you're going to turn to God or other things. You're going to turn to God, or you're going to turn to other things. Page 3. Check that out on some more there too, Steve. If you see them, let me know. Page 3, number 2, the people test. Boy, now that's a test. People are a test. Right? Yep. Phyllis, people are a test, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. The people test to stretch and develop your faith. That's why the people, we test each other. God's using us to stretch and develop each other's faith. Man, some folk really stretch it, don't they? Golly, stretch and develop your faith. How will I handle disappointment? Things don't always turn out the way we plan. And as one guy said, you know, it's not too bad that things don't always turn out the way I plan it. But I haven't had anything the past 20 years that turned out the way that I planned it. How long will this go on? It's a people test. People don't turn out the way you plan them. Relationships and everything else. How will I handle disappointment? Things don't always turn out the way we plan. Careers don't. Marriages don't. Children don't. No, we turn out better. Children don't. They don't, do they? Careers that you plan. God called me to preach, and I've told you all this how many times. God called me to preach, and I could picture myself preaching at a big church in Hawaii. Call for life. Where did he send me? Straight to prison. To the SEG units of prison systems in the state of Kentucky. That career did not turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. And then he sent me to Vine Grove Baptist Church. That was the cherry on top. God tests us and checks us with each other. Some of the greatest friends I've ever had come from this church. Some of the greatest friends also that I'd ever had in my life came from the prison system. Of all the times I'd ever gotten in danger in the prison, it was inmates who protected me. Isn't that something? How God does it? God said, okay, I'm calling you to do this, but if I call you, I'm going to see to it it's done. So what you're thinking or whatever, the people test in your life is important. Isaiah 2:22. You should stop trusting in people to save you because people are only human. Well, that's a fact, right? Did you go see the Avengers, Brother Randy? That movie came out last night. Those people are not like we people. You got it? They're superheroes. The superhero I have is Jesus Christ. And the if we could only get that point across to everyone out there. Folks, I know you love the muscles, and I know you love the speed, and I know you love all the other stuff, but let me tell you about one who conquered death, who raised from the dead and raised others from the dead and caused blind people to see, lame people to walk. Let me tell you about my hero. And I'm supposed to be teaching here. Let's go. The problem is not the people in your life, but how you respond to the people in your life. Larry Vance is not your problem. You just got to be nicer to him. It's how you respond to the people in your life. That was not scriptural there, Randy. That was... that was a paraphrase of mine. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made him their hope and confidence. Right? I'm blessed when I trust in the Lord. I am truly blessed when I trust in the Lord. Look at number 3. It's the persistence test. Now we're going to get to the big one in a moment. The persistence test. Will I keep my commitments? Life is about commitments. Is it not? Every aspect of your life deals with a commitment. And no commitment is easy. That's why it's called the character test. Commitments. To make a commitment is a test of your character. Do I keep that commitment that I've made? I promise this, do I keep it? Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4. If you make a promise to God, don't be slow to keep it. And listen to this. God is not happy with fools. So give God what you promised. Man. A commitment. If you make a promise to God, don't be slow to keep it. God is not happy with fools, So give God what you promised. Ecclesiastes 8:5. The wise man will find a time and way to do what he says. Have you ever noticed that you always find time to do what you really want to do? That those things that you really want to do yourself, you'll find time to do it. Well, you know, I'm busy, but I think I'll take time to go on vacation. Yeah, I'll go do my thing. Well, what did I commit to God? What did I commit to His church? What did I commit, how much of my life to serving Him? Well, I'll get around to it. I just don't have time right now. We make time for what we want to make time for. And we'll see how we can see what that is in a second. The most important test of all. Number four, the priorities test. What or who will be first in my life? What or who will be first in my life? T-shirt may say it, but a T-shirt can't do it. Right? You can wear all the T-shirts you want. Looks good. They say it, but that T-shirt is not going to walk around and do what it says on it. That's up to you. Words are cheap. Actions speak a whole lot louder, don't they? Well, I'm going to do this. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just go do it? And then let me tell you later on, say, man, I saw what you did. I like that. Instead of saying, I'm going to do this, and then never do it. That's very, very dangerous, especially when you're dealing with God's Word. Matthew 6:33, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Now, wait a minute. Matthew 6:33 gives us quite the promise, quite the commitment. Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need. Do you see that? All you need from day to day. Now, what's our problem? We want to do what the Israelites did on being led out of bondage when God was feeding them with the manna from above. And God said, we're going to give you manna to feed you every day. Don't store it up. Don't attempt to store it up, because I will give it to you on a daily basis. I'm going to make it fresh for you. Yeah. Well, what does a human being do? He wants to store it up and it turn to maggots. Yeah. That's what happens when you store it up. It'll turn to maggots in the jar. Put it in the jar and keep it. You can't do that. God says, trust me on a daily basis. I'll take care of you day by day. Folks, you trust God with everything in your life, and I'll guarantee you don't have to sweat. Will there be enough at the end? There will be enough at the end. Because as far as you're concerned, you will never end. You are eternal. You're an eternal being. You serve an eternal God with eternal promises. And the promise He makes to me here and gives me here when He answers those promises that He's made to me in my life and your life, He follows through with them. But not only does He follow through with it here, He follows through all the way through eternity. You are going to be rejoicing over the blessings God has given you throughout eternity. It does. Well, you know, I just don't have much longer to live. I'll get over it. You're going to live forever. You're going to leave this body because this body's slowing you down. See, my brain right now thinks that I can do things my body knows I can't. And I find that out. Don't we, Lonnie? We find that out all the time, don't we, bud? Yep, yep. I can do that. But no, it don't always work that way. Can you imagine what the body and the brain get into arguments, why they do? I didn't know you was that stupid to think that you could lift. Why did your wife even told you you couldn't lift it? You should have listened to her. And what would I say? No, no. I read the story about Adam and Eve, and he listened to his wife and got him in all bus trouble like that. Okay, let's go. Get off the rabbit. What is your primary concern? Where does your money go first? How do you spend your time? Those are the questions. What is your primary concern? Where does your money go first? And how do you spend your time? Look at your checkbook stubs and your calendar. They will tell you what is really first in your life. That's why we don't want to look at them. They will tell you what is really first in your life. How do I change the outcome of this test? Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what God says. If you come back to me and trust me, you will be saved and you will be strong. There's the answer. Come back to me. Trust me. It's not that you've walked away with your Christian faith. It's in your trust. It's in your faith in Him instead of in yourself that you know how to handle this situation. You don't. There's not a preacher that's alive today that can figure out why the churches are just imploding, why people are walking away from their faith. When the average attendance of the church in the United States is 89 people. 89 is the average church attendance today with all the churches in the United States. Now you look at the mega churches and the giant churches. They actually use those numbers, though, to figure in, but then they did their division about how many churches are in the United States, and they come up with 89. And as Brother Randy answered the question this morning, and in those days, in the end age of the church age, at the end of the age, in this period of time, there will be a great falling away from the church, backing away. Now, why? For one thing, it's not popular. Folks, it is not popular to be a Christian nowadays. Have you found that out? It is not popular. It is not popular to be a Jew nowadays either. Have you found that out and noticed it? God looks at us and he says, this is what God says. If you come back to me and trust me, you will be saved and you will be strong. James 1 verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing. God will not tempt you. You listen to me. Don't get testing and tempting mixed up. God tempts no man to do evil. James says that you are not, do not say that you are tempted by God, because God tempts no man to sin. But you're tempted and carried away because of your own lust within life. God doesn't tempt man to sin. God tests man in his function as a Christian to grow our faith. That's why the testing. That's why he says, okay, this is life, here's life, test. And how did you rate on this and how did you rate on that one? And he says, why don't you score yourself? God blesses those who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Okay, how do I get a crown of life? Love God. To love God. How do I express my love to God? I trust him. I believe that God is going to make it work out. I don't know how to tell you he's going to do it. I don't know how to tell you he does it in my life or is going to do it in my life. But I can guarantee you this. He does it. He does it. And he'll do it to you.